Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Mega Shama Varna, Gopi Jana Balava, Madhava Abhina. All glories to Lord Jagannath, whose complexion is that of a dark rain cloud, and who is Lord Krishna himself. This is the first verse of the Sri Jagannath Swami and Sri Sri Gaur Gadadhar Mahamangalarti song that we sing here in this ashram. So today is called Pusha Abhishek, sometimes confused with Pushpa Abhishek. Pushpa means flowers, but Pusha is an astrological and astronomical configuration of the planets and stars. It is also a Purnima. Don't ask me where all the stars are, but they are in a particular order. And this day is very auspicious in our ancient Vedic culture. Particularly, Lord Rama was coronated king of Ayodhya on this day. Maharaj Yudhisthira was coronated king in Indraprastha, or in what we call Delhi today, Hastinapur. He was coronated as king. And sometime, a long time ago, almost lost to record, but contained within Puranic literature, it is mentioned that Jagannath, Adi Jagannath, he is installed on this day, and he is given the royal Abhishek, which they used to perform to kings. Deva Jagatpate. But Krishna is not any ordinary king. He's not just king of Orissa, or king of India, of Bharat, or king of this planet. He's Jagannath, means he's the Lord of the whole universe. So, practically speaking, Lord Jagannath is the principal deity on this planet. The principal deity. We have many wonderful deities in South India, Vishnu and so forth. Vrindavan, have many wonderful deities of Krishna. Still, Jagannath is the principal deity. Jagannath is considered to be the most merciful of all the forms and incarnations of Krishna. Here in South India, among the Sri Vaishnavas, under Ramanuja, Namavar, etc., under the tradition of Alwars, it is considered there are 108 Divya Deshams, holy places. Jagannath Kshetra, Neelachala, as it is sometimes called, Puri, that is one of those 108 Divya Deshams. Unique to all the others, generally when a Brahmin travels or a sannyasi travels, especially in the older tradition, he can take prasad in the temple, but it's a little restricted whose house he can take food, whose house he can eat. It is considered among Sri Vaishnavas that any food eaten in Jagannath Puri, that is Mahaprasad. They can be invited by anybody, any caste, anyone, and they can go to their house and they're taking the mercy of Jagannath. And on a practical level, where you see so much of the ancient tradition still intact, where the people believe so strongly in the presence of the deity that it permeates every aspect of their life, wholesome and unwholesome, means it even permeates some of the bad habits of their life. Jagannath permeates the life of all the residents of Jagannath Puri to the extreme. More so than we have ever seen in any other place, even Sri Ranga, or even Tirupati, or any of these places. A very, very powerful influence Jagannath exerts there upon his devotees. And he has a long, long, long history, at which time, at different times, we see many people coming to worship Jagannath. Not only Vaishnavas. Not only we go to your Vaishnavas. Actually, we go to your Vaishnavas are the most recent ones on the scene. the, as I say, all the Vaishnava Sampradayas, they revere Jagannath. The Shankarites, even to this day, the main acharya for Jagannath Puri Temple is from Govardhan Mutt in Puri. He's a Shankarite, one of the Mutt Adipatis there or whatever. He's the most influential in the temple, helping them organize the worship of Jagannath. Even the impersonalist is worshiping Jagannath. For many centuries, the Buddhists worship Jagannath, and they call him Adi Buddha. And they worship Jagannath as we see him. There in Puri, of course, he's accompanied by Subhadra and Baladev. Here he has come alone. So that must be explained. When Jagannath comes out of his temple alone to greet his devotees, he's called Patita Pavana Jagannath, the deliverer of the fallen. So that's very suited for us. In the front gate of Jagannath Puri temple, there is one painting of Jagannath. That is called Patita Pavana. Whoever cannot enter the temple, they can get the blessing of Jagannath on the gate at Patita Pavana Jagannath. And it just so happens, those of you who are knowing a little more of our Gaudiya Vaishnava history, Bhaktivinod Thakur, one of the founding acharyas of the Krishna consciousness movement in the previous century, Jagannath, Patita Pavana Jagannath, was worshipped as his family deity for 400 years. And after that 400 years, he was born in that particular household with Jagannath, Patita Pavana. Then, Jagannath sometimes appears with Gaur Gadadhar. We will come to explain that. Now it's Jagannath and Sri Sri Gaur Gadadhar. Not Gornitai or any other arrangement of that type, but Jagannath with Gaur Gadadhar. We will mention something about that before going on. So many different cultural traditions, religious traditions, they have worshipped Jagannath throughout the ages. And this is only befitting, it's true to his position, he's Lord of the universe. So whatever his subjects have to offer, Jagannath, he accepts that. He accepted the worship of the Buddhists for several centuries. They are called Gnostics, antagonists, atheists. He accepted them. And in fact, he is Adi Buddha. Buddha is an incarnation of Vishnu. Jagannath is actually Adi Buddha. He has accepted worship from all classes of his devotees. And he bears the symbols of Narayan in his hand. Shankh and Chakra, it is there on this side. Shankh, this side, Chakra is there. So most people consider that he is Narayan or Vishnu. But we Gaudiyas, we consider that he is Krishna. In Dwarka, when Krishna is in touch in Dwarka with his most inner self, he remembers Vrindavan. He remembers who I am, where I belong. And when he remembers this, because in Dwarka, Krishna has Shankh and Chakra. He has the emblems of Vishnu, of Vaikuntha in Dwarka. But when he remembers his earlier years, when he was in Vrindavan, this is called when he gets in touch with his deeper self, then Krishna in Dwarka remembers who he is, and he enters a particular mood or bhava, and he takes this form. His eyes become huge. His eyes become giant. His arms stiffen and raise up with Shankh and Chakra in his hand, and he cannot move. He becomes frozen. So we Gaudiyas say, yes, but actually he is Krishna himself. And he is Krishna himself in a most deep and meaningful mood. We cannot go into all those things here. We'll be here for months and years to go deep into that mood. That will be very time consuming. Jai Jai Jagannath Divi Gunavas Sindhu Tira Nila Chali Adbhuta Bilas. All glories to Lord Jagannath, who is the abode of transcendental qualities, who resides eternally in Nilachala, exhibiting wonderful pastimes. So I want to tell one of those wonderful pastimes of Lord Jagannath. I heard this from my Guru Dev, Shiksha Guru, Srila Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj. And he mentioned it is contained in a book. I don't know if all the stories in that book may be true. There are many stories about many temples in Vrindavan. There are many stories. There are many things. How do we know which ones to believe? Because they are printed in a good book, a fancy book, maybe, maybe not. Well, we see who is the man of that book. We have our acharyas of notoriety. What they say, oh, we will accept that. But sometimes something comes from the anonymous. How do you know? Nobody knows. It's a song. It's a verse, something from scripture. Nobody knows really who wrote it. Then the tasting process is there. Those are the higher quality of devotees. They know. They can hear a story. For example, I was present when my Guru Dev was told a story about Balaji. I forget exactly which one, and it's one of the very popular ones that's printed in all the brochures. He listened to the story and then he said, a fancy fabrication. Because it crossed and mixed up rasa, the position of the devotee, the position of the Lord, everything got mumbo jumbo there. But it was one of the better ones for collection. It raised more donation, but it wasn't true. Sometimes we call this stala purana. So, we should, on one hand, just be careful of what we hear. And we try to hear from authorized sources. So Sridhar Maharaj, he liked this little story so much. I know it must be true. He could not like something of an illusion. He could not like something that was false. The quality of the story, it charmed his heart. And whether it's true in this universe, in another universe, in some universe, a bazillion universes before us, maybe, there is an eternal plane of Leela of the Lord and of His deities in some cases. It's going on eternally. Whether it ever happened in the Jagannath Puri that I've visited with all the rickshaws and all the shopkeepers, I don't know. But it happened with Lord Jagannath and His devotees somewhere. Somewhere in eternity. Somewhere. And it is recorded in a book with many other stories, but I don't know about those other stories. So now I'll tell you this one. It's a very simple story. There was a devotee, his name was Mukunda. He was in one sense a nondescript devotee. Means he looked like every other devotee. He performed the activities of every other devotee. But he did have some recognition amongst all the devotees as being more sincere, very special, a very higher grade type of devotee. But mostly he couldn't be recognized by ordinary people. So maybe he was what we call Nirupati Vaishnava. It means he was just kind of merged in with everybody else. But people that had been around for a while, they knew who Mukunda was. So one night, in the middle of the night, Mukunda had a dream. Jagannath woke him from his dream and told him, meet me in front of the Simhadwara gate. And we have so many dreams. Many of them, we do well to just get up, chant Hare Krishna, and block them out of our mind. Sometimes we even have dreams about Krishna, which are simply dreams. And they have no meaning. They are the concoctions of our weak mind. Sometimes Krishna enters our dreams. And if He does, that is not like any ordinary experience. If you wake from a dream where Krishna really entered your dream, first thing is, you can't go back to sleep. Sleep is ignorance. If Krishna stirs you from the depths of your ignorance when you're sleeping and gives you some darshan in some way, which is very, very rare, but if He does, you don't go back to sleep in the next instant. You are electrified. You are stimulated. You are awake. All your senses are extremely awake. So Mukunda found himself in this condition. And he thought, well, I guess I should go to Simhadwara Gate. So this is like 1 o'clock in the morning. So he goes to Simhadwara Gate, and suddenly Jagannath just comes through the gate. Lord Jagannath himself just passes and just enters beyond the gate. The gate is locked. This means nothing to Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can ask someone to open the gate, He can walk through the gate or anything he wants beyond our imagination. So simply he came there. And Mukunda, of course, being a devotee, and he was awed, and with great humility, he bowed down before the Lord, and trembling, and all these things. What you would do if you opened your door and Jagannath was there? We cannot imagine what feeling would overwhelm him. So overwhelmed in that way, then Mukunda became a little calm, and he was obedient to his Lord. Yes, my Lord, what do you wish? What service? Yes, come on. I want to go to a jackfruit garden. And he said, yes, Lord, what will you do there? He said, steal jackfruits. Well, my Lord, jackfruit is offered every day to you, and see, the jackfruit is coming. Yes, but you see, they taste better when they're stolen. So they go to the jackfruit garden of choice, the very choice of jackfruit garden. And see how that went. He told, Jagannath climbed the tree. Mukunda, you stay here. I'll lower down the jackfruit. So this happened. But then some branch broke, or there was some noise. A few jackfruits were thrown down. Some noise. It aroused that property owner. And he woke up, and he came out into his garden to find Mukunda. And Jagannath immediately disappeared. He vanished. And then the family members came out, and they made a public arrest. And then they said, you're Mukunda? You are seen in the darshan? You pose yourself as a devotee? You come and steal our jackfruits? Stealing is a very bad thing in India. And they started giving a few kicks and a few whacks. And they gradually, when daylight came, they called the constables of the Raja there. And everybody was surprised and shocked. Simply an imitation devotee. What he's doing. So on the scene, somebody looked up and they saw a cloth, an upper garment, hanging in the tree. So they brought that down, and the king recognizes it. This is Jagannath's chadar. This is the uttariya of Jagannath. Pop! He gave a slap. Not only steals jackfruits, he has stolen the uttariya of Jagannath. And everybody gave a kick and a slap. And then they arrested him and they imprisoned him. Jagannath came to his rescue. I can tell you, had Jagannath not come to his rescue, they would have killed him. They would have punished him with the death penalty. Very severe punishment would have been dealt out. They were convinced. And then he tried to explain himself. No, Jagannath called me. Jagannath came out of the temple. He himself climbed the tree. Bat, bat, bat. They gave two or three more slaps. What is this nonsense you speak? Now, there's a particular word for it, I don't know, but it has its own category of dream. When dreams happen simultaneously in different places, sanctioned by the Supreme Lord. So that night, Mukunda is locked up, and Jagannath's in the temple, the king is in his palace, and the Brahmins are in their home. The head priest and the king, they had a simultaneous dream where Jagannath admits his thievery, yes. I am behind this theft. Actually, it was me. Mukunda is innocent. Again, Jagannath entered their dreams. They are not ordinary class devotees. They are high class devotees. So then the whole situation was resolved the next morning. So it's a nice, sweet pastime. You can even tell it to children. But it has very high implications called parakeya. Parakeya means what belongs to another. And everything belongs to Krishna. You, me, your gold chains, your watches, your shoes, your car, there's nothing that doesn't belong to Jagannath. Everything belongs to him. But he likes to pretend it doesn't belong to him, so you can offer it to him. He allows you to offer what you think is yours. And sometimes when you're a little slow to do that, he takes it to the next level and he steals it. And especially, he is famous for doing this in Vrindavan. Very famous. But the point there is that Parakiya Ras is not only in our Madhurya Ras, is there in all rasas. It's in Vatsalya rasa. It's in every play. Every realm of Krishna's activities, we'll find a certain section. Even his eating, which is kind of a shantaras, has a parakiya sentiment by stealing the food. Vrindavan, he steals butter. He steals yogurt. He is, what is his name? For thief? Makhanchur. So that is one of Jagannath's pastimes that he performs with his devotees at Nilachala. Jaya Jaya Jagannath Swananda Vibhori Kishura Sagara Tate Ratha Lila Kori. All glories to Lord Jagannath, who is absorbed in his own ecstasy, Viparlamba Bhav, who performs the pastimes of Ratha Yatra on the shore of the Milk Ocean. That's Puri. This Ratha Yatra pastime is the most televised religious function in all of India. It's on the television every year on Ratha Yatra Day in July, and it is broadcast. No other Rath, no other Puja, no other festival, good or bad, gets the publicity of Ratha Yatra. It is broadcast everywhere. And it stands as, I believe, one of the oldest, if not the oldest, living religious festival in all the world. Again, is it not suited that the Lord of the universe, his festival, will be the most widely known? His festival will be broadcast all over the world for the longest time, more than anybody else? So many gods have come and gone in Greek history, Roman history, pagan history, Viking history, all over the world. They come and go like the clouds in the sky. For a century or two, they believe in some god and simply they vanish. At one point in history, the Christian missionaries came to India 150, 200 years ago. And they called Puri the Mecca of Hindus. And they called Jagannath the great god of the Hindus. And they understood, before India can fall, be destroyed, this temple and this god must be destroyed. And they used to make all bad propaganda about Jagannath. Horrible things they used to say. It's not fitting to mention them here today in front of Jagannath. Bad, terrible things they used to say, write in journals and publish in the world. And they created a word called Juggernaut. It means, when the juggernaut is coming, like an army comes like juggernaut, it crushes and kills everything. Huh? They called us a juggernaut. They could not see the flower petals. They could not see his beautiful smile. They saw their enemy of enemies. So, you know, there's a particular thing about Vaishnavism, and even in this world, when you point a finger, 3 point back. The faults you find in others may soon be your own. It's a secret. It's even known in the world. If you find the fault of others, that may be your own. There's also the laws of karma and reaction. So these Christians arrived in India and gave a big problem to Jagannath in those days. The result was that now Ratha Yatra is performed in every major Christian country around the world. And he goes there. And thousands of those men and women, boys and girls, previously Christian, they come, take Jagannath Prasad, dance, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is the work of our Gurudev, Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Maybe one of the greatest devotees of Jagannath ever to come to this planet in modern times. Although he never lived at Puri. He only ever visited there. But he took Jagannath and Ratha Yatra all over the world. So instead of seeing Puri crumble, Jagannath crumble, reaction came in another way. Jagannath expanded himself in many temples around this planet and other places across India. This Ratha Yatra pastime. Ratha Yatra pastime is Jagannath's most important pastime. It is his sweetest pastime. It is his most generous pastime. And at the same moment, in the same step, it is his most esoteric and internal pastime. He is one coming out to meet all the citizens of the universe. Huh? Some of us are not allowed in the temple. Some of us are too lame to go in the temple. It means we are too ignorant to know the value of going in Jagannath's temple, even if we can. On that day, he comes out to meet everyone and anyone and to give his darshan. Then he's moving in his own steps. Have you seen him move when he's moving? Look, and yes, he's moving like an intoxicated man. He's swaying to and fro and coming up and then going back. He's fully intoxicated, but not with any, what is it called, amrits or any kind of brewed beverage. No, he's intoxicated with the love of his devotees. He's swaying back and forth, and he's trying to reach with those large arms. He's trying to reach Vrindavan, and he moves out of the temple, and he comes onto his rath, and he moves to a place called Gundicha. And Gundicha means Vrindavan. On Rath Yatra Day, there are, I don't know, 500,000 people there. Maybe a few handful of people there know actually where Jagannath is moving, what Jagannath is doing. In the time of Mahaprabhu, this became gradually revealed. What is the deepest meaning of Rath Yatra? It came out in that time. In the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes Jagannath's cart would stop. I've seen it stop myself. I've seen it run into houses and knock over half sections of houses on Carr Street. Sometimes Jagannath's cart stops. A wheel breaks, an axle breaks, or for just some unknown reason, it stops. And sometimes it used to stop as if the wheels were locked. They couldn't go. 500-600 people pulling the ropes. Then King Prataparuja used to bring his elephants, state elephants, hook them to the thing and undo that jammed wheel, pull that rod, pull it. And they're beating these elephants until they're crying. And not only are the wheels not rolling, it's not even sliding. It's just there. Then Mahaprabhu told, make some space, relax, put the rope on your shoulder. He began his Sankirtan devotees in the front. He walked around and put his head on the back of it, and he pushed it. And Jagannath's cart began to move. The holy name in the front, Mahaprabhu's gentle nudge in the back. Mahaprabhu was bringing him. He would come in the front and call him, bring him to Vrindavan. Then Jagannath would move. We don't expect to see miracles every time we go to Rath Yatra. But such miracles means very unusual events do happen from time to time. The devotees that live here, we think Jagannath's presence here is almost in one of those categories. Actually, I'll boast, it is in one of those categories. Jagannath is self-manifested. Self-manifested means we are incapable to bring him here. We are incapable to make any of the arrangements to make Jagannath here. We are incapable to even find a piece of wood suitable as we searched this whole district, Mandya district in Mysore, but couldn't find anything. But we've been driving by one tree lying on the side of the road in Gunjam for the last so many years. It just turned out to be perfect for the purpose. And a few carpenters, the lamest of which was myself, with no previous skill of ever making a deity, ever shaping a deity, or doing any of the thing. I mean, they know how to make doors and cabinets, these carpenters, Uddhava, Sundar Krishna, Balaram, myself, Mahamantra. We tackled the subject, how to shape Jagannath. And right down to the painting. There are no artists involved here. And all along the way, we have that experience. It's like, we're not the doer. Jagannath is coming. We're not the doer. He's coming. We're simply instruments in his hands, doing some work, but he is coming on his own. So that is one type of self-manifest. It means he's coming himself and making arrangements. And we are simply acting as his servants. He is the doer. Jaya Jaya Mahaprabhu, Sri Gaurasundara, Radhika Varna, Bahira Sri Krishnanta, all glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Gauranga Sundar, whose external complexion is golden like Srimati Radharani, but who is Krishna within. Here in South India, do you know Harihara? Harihara is combination of Shiva and Vishnu. There is also Parvati and Shiva. What is that?
Ardhanarishwara.
What is his name?
Ardhanarishwara.
Yes. Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya. Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined, but in a different way than Harihara and Shiva and Parvati. In a different way. In a very profound way. And I'm not going to say much about that. Other than that is his identity. He is Krishna. But his mood is as the greatest devotee. The greatest devotee of Krishna is Srimati Radharani. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, I heard that Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna, and he's acting like a devotee. It took some years for it to sink in, so to speak. Which devotee? I hope he's not acting like me. Is he acting like you? Krishna comes to act like a devotee. Which devotee? Which caliber of devotee? What type of what devotee? It is mentioned that in the daytime, Mahaprabhu used to act like an ordinary human being. He would do Sankirtan for 5 or 6 hours and go to Jagannath. That's the business of an ordinary human being, to perform Yuga Dharma. In the evening, in his room at Gambira, he used to exhibit wonderful pastimes beyond the imagination of anyone. This morning, there was some nice discussions about Shikshastakam, Mahaprabhu's prayers, instruction, particularly his first instruction of Nam Sankirtan. What sometimes escapes us is the recollection that Mahaprabhu didn't write that like in the beginning of his pastimes. Shikshastakam came out in the last 12 years when Mahaprabhu had cut himself off from the public and remained 24 hours a day absorbed in his deepest moods of transcendental love and separation, Vipralamba. And from time to time, he would just utter these composed verses. Not just once, but again and again. From his deepest state of divine love, he would utter some instruction. That is called Shikshastaka. They are the only original 8 things, verses, that Mahaprabhu ever wrote. His disciples have written libraries and libraries full of literatures to explain him, to explain actually the meaning of those 8 instructions. So from his highest experience, he gives us what is most beneficial, this Nam Sankirtan. It is considered the prime benediction for humanity at large. We cannot do a greater service to humanity. We cannot do our families more good or ourselves more good than simply chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
That sound will take us from the grossest plane of materialism and misconception and transport us ultimately to Goloka Vrindavan, to the eternal pastimes of the Supreme Lord and His devotees. That mantra will do everything for us. That is Mahaprabhu's most magnanimous gift. Jai Jai Gadadhar Mahabhagavat Vrishabhanu Sutta Bhava Duti Suvalita. All glories to Sri Gadadhar, who is the greatest devotee of Mahaprabhu, and who is the entire wealth of the feelings, sentiment, mood, and luster of Srimati Radharani, the king of King Vrishabhanu, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu. So, in our Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we have what is called Panchatattva. Panchatattva. That is Mahaprabhu appearing, Krishna himself, with his principal associates and energies. When you look at the Panchatattva, or a photo of Panchatattva, Mahaprabhu is in the center. On his right is Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram. Again, to the right of Balaram is Advaitacharya, who is Mahavishnu and Sadashiva combined. Mahavishnu, Sadashiva. Then you look to the left of Mahaprabhu, first there is Gadadhar. And after Gadadhar, to the left, if you're seeing this picture that I'm imagining in my mind, there is Srivas. Srivas is Narada Muni. Who is Gadadhar? Gadadhar is Radharani. The most esoteric member of the Panchatattva is Gadadhar. What is Gadadhar? Once devotees asked our Srila Puri Maharaj, Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj, why do you worship Gadadhar, Gaur Gadadhar? He promptly said, because, Baba, if you do not worship Gaur Gadadhar, you cannot understand Radha and Krishna. But we say, but I know Radha and Krishna. But what we know about Radha and Krishna? We are filled with so many misconceptions. What is Radha and Krishna? To really understand what they are doesn't mean just to know here's a place called Vrindavan. They perform some activities together. Some are charming, some are sweet, some are humorous, some are tragic. Not that. It means to understand something of the quality of love, prema. What is this thing? Prema pumartha mahan. What is love? Where does it come from? What power does it have? What is it? Well, we can tell ourselves very well what it is. Love for our children, love for our nation, love for our friends. So many types of love. But love for God, that is so rare. That is such a rare thing. And that has got its general category also. Some general love for God. And then there's the deepest love of God. What is it? What is God's love for His dearest devotees? What is that? What is He? What are those devotees? It is the greatest mystery that has ever presented itself to the human race. If we can properly serve Gaur Gadadhar, if we can worship them in some proper way, then we may make some step towards that finer understanding of what is love. What is Radha Krishna love? Luckily, Srila Prabhupada did say in his books, one should worship either Gaur Nitai or Gaur Gadadhar. One place he's mentioned that. It's like, otherwise, somebody might not believe me that you can worship Gaur Gadadhar, because you won't find this unless you go to Bhakti Vinod Thakur's house. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta, they were worshippers of Gaur Gadadhar, almost exclusively. Our Srila Puri Maharaj, worshipper of Gaur Gadadhar, with Jagannath in the center. If you see close, Mahaprabhu is on the left. His hand is like this. And Gadadhar is on our right. His hands are like this. So, Mahaprabhu is teaching devotional service to himself. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He is teaching the mellow sweetness of devotion to his own self. Means to Krishna. He is Krishna in the role of a teacher and teaching how to worship Krishna, how to serve Krishna, how to surrender to Krishna. You follow? So his hand is in this teacher's mood. And Gadadhar is like this. Now, if we look at different deities, Balaji, Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi, you'll see hands this way, this way. The most assuring, these are mudras. They're giving a blessing. They're giving, this is another type of like welcoming, a type of blessing and comfort. The most assuring is when you come to someone's home and they go, if they just go, hi, how are you? That's one thing. You go, oh, fine, right? They go, oh, please come in, right? When they extend both arms to you and welcome you, what more can you ask for? Such a warm and affectionate welcome. Gadadhar is welcoming all. Come. Come to the shelter of my Lord Mahaprabhu. He is categorically the greatest devotee of Mahaprabhu. He has categorically the greatest love of any of the devotees of Mahaprabhu. And coincidentally, his disciples were the foremost of Sankirtan leaders to spread Mahaprabhu's mission after the Leela of Mahaprabhu. The line of Gadadhar was the foremost, the first and foremost of Sankirtan. So, the worship of Gaura Gadadhar is something very special. Then, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Gaura Gadadhar, Ekina Prabhu Sada, Mura Pranadara. All glories to Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Gadadhar Pandit. These three lords are my only shelter. These lords are the very life of my life. Jagannath Swami, Nayanapadagamin, Nayanapadagamin, Bhavatini. Jagannath Swami,
Nayanapadagamin, Nayanapadagamin, Bhavatini.
Sri Jagannath Dev Swami Ki.
Jai.